It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is a podcast from The Times. Go to thetimes.co.uk.
The Rugby World Cup from The Times with Mark Suster.
We'll be with you every week with the latest from the tournament, looking at the prospects for the home nations and the other big guns, of course, and reviewing all the action on and off the field.
Find it at thetimes.co.uk or in iTunes.
Thank you for joining me on the Game Podcast Bonus. With me this week is Stuart Robson. Stuart, I want to look at the issue. You may have heard about this. Nathan Eccleston, young 20-year-old, I believe, Liverpool footballer, has been on loan at a number of clubs. Like many, he's on Twitter. And he tweeted something right around the anniversary of September 11th, basically saying that he still thinks that September 11th was some kind of conspiracy, didn't really go into detail, and he made reference to the Order of the Illuminati, and of course, as all good conspiracy theorists know, the Illuminati is a secret society of people who control the world. I'm not going to ask you whether the Illuminati exists, or because you may be one of them, and of course they're a secret. So, but I want to just to ask. I mean, this view was offensive to a lot of people. Liverpool have opened sort of their own internal review into this matter. But you know, obviously, we've talked about footballers on Twitter, footballers airing their views. Is there an issue with footballers speaking out on matters that aren't football related? I mean, obviously, footballers are people. Some of them read the newspaper and have opinions.
I think players are quite. It's all right for them to have their own view. I think where what football clubs are worried about is when they start being disruptive. They start having a go at their own manager. They start having a go at their own club. That's when football clubs seem to get involved. But I thought years ago we had freedom of speech. I know now contracts. They try and put in contracts that you can't say anything derogatory about the club and all this sort of stuff, and that's why they try and but depending who the player is, how the clubs deal with it. If it's a player that they don't particularly want, they'll use it against them. If it's a player they really like and is worth a lot of money, they'll just overlook it. And that's the problem I find with most football clubs, depending on the value of the player, how they deal with them.
But it does seem though that, I mean, especially in England, more so I think than other countries, footballers never speak out about, you know, anything political or even anything to do with, you know, social issues, whether it's abortion, homosexuality, you know, whatever. Here, you know, you've got a 20-year-old kid who goes out and, you know, tweets something which maybe it's true, I certainly don't believe it is, but is going to be offensive to a lot of people. How should a football club do? I mean, you spoke of freedom of speech before. He's not criticizing the club here.
Exactly.
So you don't have a problem with it?
I might have a problem with what he said, but I don't think...
Or you don't have a problem with his right to and tweet?
You've got every right to say what you want to say about politics or social issues. There shouldn't be any sort of gagging order on that sort of stuff. You should be allowed to say what you want.
So I'm sure that in the contract, in his contract, there would be some kind of clause which he.
Right at the, yeah, there's some small print right at the bottom that says you mustn't say this about this and you mustn't say this, which is a great big long list.
But it also says you mustn't say anything or behave in any kind of way that would bring disrepute on the club. Now, so if Nathan Eccleston, you know, came out and said, hey, you know, everybody should go and join the Ku Klux Klan, which I don't think he would because he's black, but you never know.
Yeah.
You know, would the club be then or within their rights to discipline him?
I'm sure the clubs. First of all, they've got to have a. They'll probably have a word with him. They may just. So what football clubs do as well? They tell the public that they're disciplining people. They're fining them just to appease what's going on outside, the criticism the player might be getting. But behind it, they say, "Oh, don't worry. You know, it's okay. We just make this statement." And again, we go back to it. Depending who the player is at the football club. If it's a player they think they can bully a little bit, they'll have a right go at him and they'll fine him. If it's one of their biggest earners and their best players and their biggest assets, they'll cover it up and sort of and the player will give a little, they'll try and get the player to give a little speech, but the club won't actually have a go at him. And this is what you know, I get very frustrated about in football. It's immoral the way clubs deal with their biggest assets and the players down at the bottom level of the club.
Going back to your playing days, you know, it wasn't that long ago, but did you find, I mean, we all know sort of the joke about, you know, Graham Lasseau reading The Guardian and so on, and look, but did you find that there were footballers who actually took an interest in, or do we have this distorted idea that they're all just interested in money and sex?
Most of the footballers that I played with, were the only political view they had was they'd vote for the party which taxed them least. It was all selfish.
So they're all Tories?
Yeah, of course they were, yeah.
Even the Scousers? No, they couldn't be.
All the ones that were playing for Arsenal at the time that I was playing, they were all Tories because...
You didn't have Scousers at Arsenal, did you?
No, we didn't. Not one Scouser. But they all voted for Tories and made a big fuss of it because it was all about the tax. You know, that's all they worried about. Self, as most footballers are, they're very selfish.
But was it just a question of voting, or did they? I mean, I go back. I remember David Beckham gave this long interview where, you know, he said he didn't vote, which didn't necessarily surprise me. But David Beckham, for his part, I think, you know, as early as 15 years ago, when he was almost, I don't want to say he was a nobody because he was already famous, but, you know, he made the point, for example, he took quite a strong stand on gay rights. Is that something that footballers can do more of, to take a stand on social issues? Or is there also the risk that if they do that, they may also come up with opinions that the mainstream doesn't like? And it was just, the football clubs just see it as disruptive and...
As long as they're opinions that are done for the right reason, and that is actually their opinion, they're not just, you know, I would always think whenever David Beckham does something, has an opinion, and he does it for commercial reasons. He does it to get a better opinion, public appeal, get better public appeal, make his commercial value much higher. Footballers and agents, or agents will suggest to footballers to make speeches that actually helps themselves, not helps the society or helps other people. There may be one or two, but most of it is selfish.
It seems to me that football is perhaps the most apolitical sphere in this country. Is that maybe good? I mean, do we spend enough time talking? Do we have enough people sounding off on social issues and political issues and ethical issues that, hey, maybe it's not a bad thing if footballers just shut up and play football?
I think it's good that footballers shut up and just play their football, or try to play their football, because when they do come out with opinions, usually they're not particularly good, are they? You know, you read, if you're going to get people giving opinions, they've got to have a knowledge of the subject, and quite often footballers don't have a knowledge of the subject they're talking about when they come out and spout off about something.
Well, I wonder if it's maybe also a function of long-standing attitudes towards footballers and in terms of them being encouraged to speak. Certainly in other countries, I'm thinking of Argentina primarily, but also Germany, Spain, you tend to have a different type of footballers who does speak out a lot more and is more associated. I mean, personally, I think if footballers could get involved on certain issues, and some of them do, on usually on very broad charitable issues nobody could possibly disagree with, like, you know, end knife fighting or whatever. You know, who's going to come out and, you know,
they might back a you know, like Rio Ferdinand has done in his native South London, you know, backed up sort of the things that are going on in that environment, how to control it, and that's all very good because there's a role model that's trying to do the right thing. But the thing that disappoints me, footballers aren't allowed to have opinion about their own football clubs. They aren't allowed to have opinion about the style of football they want to play. I had an issue when I was captain of Coventry that I didn't like the style of football. I didn't like what Bobby Gould was doing at the football club at the time. And I wrote a piece, or somebody wrote a piece for me in the Times, it was slightly critical of Bobby Gould and the way we were playing. We were top of the table, but I said I prefer to have been top of the table the way we were playing the previous year. Oh, all hell broke loose. You know, I was the worst person in the world for writing something against the club. And that was, I just felt that was the right thing to do at the time. And that freedom of speech was taken away, really, because you were worried about everything. And press offices now are so strict about anything that goes out from anywhere in the football club. It's unbelievable.
That's certainly very true, and perhaps a discussion for another time. Stuart, thank you so much.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.